Raised Rowdy.
Well, welcome to the Raised Rowdy Podcast. I'm Nikki T.
I'm Kurt Ozon.
And we have Miss Jenna LeMaster with us.
Hi.
Thanks for coming to our luxurious podcast studio here in Old Hickory, Tennessee.
It is luxurious.
Yeah. It's way cooler than Kurt's extra bedroom. Well, maybe not, but you know.
It's definitely nicer. We got new lights.
Yeah. We got lights. Brett hooked this up and made it look pretty pro.
It does look pro. Yeah. It's awesome in here. We have the raccoons.
We're all growing up, you know? Yeah. We've known each other for a while, and we're all getting to be grown now, finally.
Yeah.
Which is good.
We have known each other for a while. Actually, I don't even know if you remember.
Oh. Of course I do.
You don't.
Okay.
But in Sacramento, I must have just moved to Nashville, but you were playing for Michael Ray at the time, and you guys played this radio show, and I opened for you guys. I don't even know the building we were in, honestly.
Was it the strip club place? Rodeo club?
No.
Okay.
No. This was like, was it at the radio station, maybe? It was a radio event.
It was in Sacramento or San Jose?
It was in Sacramento.
Okay, never mind. San Jose has the strip club place.
I know that you remember all of it, and you were like, dang.
That girl's got some pipe.
That's Jenna LeMaster.
What year was that?
19.
I don't know. Like,
probably like 2016.
Yeah.
Ish. Crazy.
Six, 7 years ago? 8 years ago?
10 years ago?
That was like before Raised Rowdy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then Raised Rowdy came along.
And all was right.
Yeah.
Or wrong. Both probably.
Yeah.
Somehow the perfect mix.
Well, I think the first time I saw you play may have been CMA Fest when you guys played at Acme Feed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Was that me, Farron, and Megan?
Yeah.
Oh.
And it was before I moved to town. Maybe 2019, maybe?
Sounds about right.
It's crazy. Time goes fast.
It does go fast, yeah.
But it's cool now that you actually, because I remember talking to people about you and you didn't have any music out. And now you do have some music out.
You were always like, the joke was, Jenna doesn't have music out for like the longest time.
I know.
Nick was always the one yelling at you the most.
I was like, you got to get this music out.
Honestly, though, Nick did support. You supported me when I probably wasn't worthy of being supported in any way. You always gave me somewhere to play and... for real, Raised Rowdy for life.
That's my boy.
Well, you were worthy of playing though. That's the thing.
Yeah, you're very sweet.
Yeah. Well, and it's cool to see you start like actually dropping stuff. So
yeah.
Music out right now. You can stream on social media. Drunk Thoughts.
Yeah.
And then you also have signed a management deal.
I have.
Yeah. Why don't we talk about that
with Maverick? So, yeah, the long joke of me not having music out for way too long. I finally put out Drunk Thoughts just
Drunk
completely.
Thoughts.
Oh, thanks, Kurt. Completely independently at the end of last year. And when I started teasing it, a woman named Marnie McLyman from Maverick, she had reached out and been like, hey, what's going on here? I kind of like what I'm hearing. Let's go get coffee. And we just started chatting about, you know, goals and what I wanted to do and how to do this release on my own. And she started helping. And then eventually just naturally we were like, hey, we did the kind of awkward, like, do you want to work together? Do you want to work together thing
it's like
for a minute?
You're like kind of hooking up with someone and you're like, hey, I like you. Do you like me? And then you're like, yeah. Like, should we like be FBO? And then you're like, yeah.
Wait, what's BFBO?
FBO, Facebook official.
Oh, okay. Oh. I didn't know this.
So you guys are FBO now.
Yeah, we are. But she's been so amazing. She's been a big supporter. She's got me really cool opportunities, and we've been in the studio. We haven't gotten mixes back yet, but I'm very excited.
Yeah.
We're cutting some new stuff.
How many songs are you cutting?
We're going to fill out this project. So probably end up with 5 to 6
cool.
for the first EP. But
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks. And same producer you worked with for Drunk Thoughts, or?
Yep. Yeah. So I did have some time of like experimenting some before settling on Glenn and Paul, but it's Glenn Wharf. He's a great bass player. He helped co-produce a bunch of stuff with Frank Liddell from like Miranda to Leanne and David Nail and stuff. And then Paul Franklin, legendary steel player. Good. He's so amazing. So
Kurt likes him, so you know he's good.
Yeah, he's the best for sure. When I bought my first steel guitar, I emailed him asking for lessons, and he was very sweet in declining me.
Well, I think he, yeah.
He just doesn't, why would you teach, you know?
Yeah, he's the guy.
Yeah, but he's got online lessons now. This is back before the internet was invented.
I was going to say, wait, did he have online? Yeah, no,
this
was
like 2012 or something like that. So
man,
it was a
you're
long
old,
ago.
Bro.
Yeah. But yeah, Paul's so cool.
So sweet.
Got to meet him finally. Just a quick Paul side tangent, because this is my podcast, so I get to talk about Paul Franklin. But I was nominated for a CMA Touring Award for like Touring Band Guy of the Year.
Let's go.
Yeah, this was last year, so.
Oh, let's go.
And yeah, it was great. And Paul Franklin was also nominated. And I thought, this must be like one of those like ride-in things where it's like, people just write in who the best player is, but it's like maybe they're not even like touring or whatever. And I was like, well, maybe I do have a chance at winning this, you know. And there's all everyone there that was so good, you know. And of course, Paul won, obviously. And
well, he is touring,
yeah. Right? Which I didn't realize.
With and then Stapleton.
So he got up and he gave this speech, and it was I literally was like on the verge of tears. I was just like. He was talking about how when the Eagles stopped playing, he lost his family on the road. And, you know, Vince wasn't touring as much and all this. And he just, like, missed the road so much, and how he found a home with Chris and how much it meant to him. And being around, like, Chris's kids and hearing them laugh and, like, them going to school and learning on the road. And he's like, this touring has meant so much more to me than music. And it's about just happiness in life. And it was so beautiful. I was just and I'm sitting there just like, oh my god, this guy's he's just the sweetest guy ever.
I know.
And most talented, of course. And then after the awards, I had to go and get a selfie with him.
Aww.
And so I posted my picture like, proud to have lost to Paul Franklin.
That's so sweet.
Yeah.
I know, it's always such a great thing to meet somebody who is so talented and also just such a great human. Like, mm-hmm. So kind and sweet, and I love that.
I love when good people win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the best. Anyway, sorry for the tangent. I just wanted to tell
that
story for whatever
reason.
That's
literally what podcasts are about, mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
So how did you originally get linked up with them?
So Daryl, my publisher, Daryl Franklin, mm-hmm. is Paul's son.
Oh.
And so...
Well, that checks out.
I know. Totally checks out. So Daryl was... a huge supporter of the direction that I wanted to go. And I just kind of, I mean, I had really no experience. All I could say was, you know, oh, I like this kind of music or I like this kind of music. I went through and listened to all my favorite records and tried to make some, you know, a list of common players that played on all those projects. Mm-hmm. So I like really dove in and was like, okay, I think this is the direction that I want to go. But you never really know till you get in the studio and you're like, this feels like me or it doesn't. Mm-hmm. And so Daryl had kind of, he was like, well, what if, you know, Dad and Glenn, that kind of, you know, maybe not completely left of center, but just something really organic and... definitely country. And I was like, yes. That's me.
Yeah.
So we went in to experiment a few times and we got Drunk Thoughts in one of those sessions. And then, yeah, we just went in to cut the rest.
That's so great.
I'm so excited. Yeah.
Well, that's what, I mean, I've heard you play. Thank you so much for specifically the early days of Raise Rowdy on the Road.
Thank you.
Well, of course.
Seriously.
We got to hear a lot of really cool songs, some of which got cut by other artists,
yeah.
And some of which sounded like Jenna LaMaster songs. So I'm assuming that's probably some of the stuff that you've been working with.
Yep.
So I'm very excited for more people than just the 100 people that were at the bar those days to get
hey,
to hear more.
Hey, listen,
of the songs.
I also played the Raised Rowdy summer camp.
Oh yeah.
In 2020.
Oh yeah.
Oh boy.
Which I will say, I had only been to church summer camp before this experience, and that was not that.
No, it's the Church of Degenerates for sure.
I went with Casey. I think. Yeah. Were we? Yeah, we were in Ohio.
Yeah.
She was like, "Hey, you want to play this Ohio? Like, let's go." And I'm like, "Yeah, awesome." I have no idea what I'm doing. We showed up
so
to.
Much fun.
Yeah. To what?
To a, quite an experience.
It was, so we did the first one at a campground, and then we were like, all right, let's go back to that campground, and they were like, we're closed for the season. So our friends, Stan and Kathy, live in Ohio, and Ohio's laws at that time were you could have 40 people outside together. So we were like, oh, sick, we'll just do that. So they literally lived in a cul-de-sac with the back of the cul-de-sac, like, went over this hill, and there was just, like, big field. So we just all popped up tents in the field.
Is this like in a housing development?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Me and Casey pull up and we're like, is this it?
Yeah.
Awesome.
It's the most
Nick
thing I've ever heard.
It was so much fun.
I love it.
We pulled down the driveway.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly, it was like a super steep driveway.
Yep. Yep.
And we park and we look straight ahead. And Mike is there with his all of his tattoo stuff. And there's people lying on the tattoo bed.
Just getting butt tattoos.
Not exactly dressed.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what?
Just I think,
so on brand.
I think Mike did like 30 tattoos that day.
Yeah.
Just all little ones. Like, this is the one I got.
Yeah. That's great.
Amazing. I can't see
guy.
It, but amazing.
A little campfire guy.
A little campfire guy.
Yeah.
Where is Mike?
He's back in Ohio.
Okay.
So we just got to see him. He was at Midland, Michigan at the festival we were at. He was tattooing there.
Cool.
Tony and Tall Boys. And then he was at country concert just, like, drinking and hanging out.
Cool.
Very fun. But he's back in Ohio. Once Lexi had the baby, they moved back to Ohio.
Awesome.
So you'll see him on the road with folks more so than in Nashville at this point.
Yeah.
We're trying to talk him into coming back down for an event. We'll see if it works. But
I don't have any tattoos because my mother would disown me. But I told him if I ever did,
his would be the
he'd
one,
be
huh?
the guy.
Yeah, Mike... He's dude. I mean, he tattooed Ed Sheeran.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Ed's people contacted him when he was when Ed was rolling through Ohio, and they were like, "Hey, Ed wants a tattoo." So he tattooed Ed.
No way.
Absurd.
That's pretty cool.
And then he's been on the road with Nate a bunch, Bailey a bunch.
Yeah.
Tattoo
stuff.
Yeah, all of them.
Tattoo stuff.
But yeah, summer camp. So very fun, and we. You know, we were used to going to festivals every year, and that's when we saw a lot of our friends. So we just had our own baby festival in the backyard of
40 people.
But
which
there
was
no
such,
babies there.
Yeah.
Such a random, you can have 40 people.
Yeah.
No more, no less.
COVID days, you know.
Random laws.
And then later that night, you guys might have been gone already, but later that night, Ryan Nelson was playing, and he was very drunk. And
that's
he was
odd.
Like, yeah, strange. Yeah. he was like screaming profanities on the mic, and the cops came and they're like, "Hey, this is awesome. Like, you guys are great, but like, could you just not scream profanities on the microphone?" And we're like, "Yeah, we'll just turn the microphone off at this point, you know?"
Smart.
Yeah. I was definitely gone by then, but sounds
you guys
awesome.
Did great. You got in, saw the degeneracy, and you're like, "All right, we're going back to Nashville."
It was awesome.
It was so much fun. Just
it was
silly
so fun.
And like just made our crew feel more like family, you know, which is great.
Yeah.
And then we drank a lot too, of course.
Yeah, moonshine.
COVID, you know.
Different things.
Yeah, there was a keg of beer. They were pouring beer off the roof of the garage into people's mouths.
What?
Yeah, it was degenerate. But
to be young again.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like 38. Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
I haven't been young in a long time.
Oh, boy.
But that was like either right when I moved to Nashville or right before. So, very fun stuff. COVID was honestly for me a blessing. Like, that's what got me to Nashville.
Mm.
So,
silver lining.
I love that.
Yeah. I didn't die from having it, and then it made me move to Nashville. So, it was a win-win.
I watched Tiger King during that time. Yeah. And that was something special.
Tiger King, baby. Yeah. It's
what a great time for that to just.
Oh, yeah. They were like, we know what we're doing.
Yeah. COVID Tiger King. <Yeah. laughs>
I'll never financially recover from this.
It's I think that is a time that we'll look back on forever with ill thoughts, but also good thoughts. In my opinion, the bad stuff fades. The good stuff that came from it will stay around.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think that's kind of what has changed culture a little bit too. Like, you're hearing all these really, really sad songs that are hitting home with folks. I feel like that kind of started during the COVID era.
Like, finally, my people.
Yeah.
My time.
It's cool though.
Make it sadder.
Yeah. It's just different.
Yeah.
And it just changed. I mean, look at like Muscadine releasing work tapes during that time frame. And,
yeah.
You know, the rise of Zach Bryan and the stripped down kind of production that he's kind of now been known for. And just everything. I mean, it made people forced to go on things like Facebook Live and TikTok and whatever.
Yeah.
You know, because there wasn't any other outlets for it. So then when everything else came back, you have those streams of things that are now viable.
Yeah.
Nobody knew that you could work from home in the majority of jobs until you had to work from home. And then they were like, oh,
yeah,
you can do this. So
we even did a live stream, which was fun with Luke.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
That was so much fun.
And that's like, that's the thing is like, you know, not the best, not something I would ever request to have happen again.
Yeah, yeah. Obviously.
But as with all things, humans adapt.
Yeah.
And, you know, every business kind of adapted or died.
Yeah.
And I think it's another part where it's like, show what that looks like.
Yeah.
Like, what's it look like for you to be able to pivot and try things out and do different things?
It kind of took the machine aspect away and then allowed, you know, authenticity and people that were being genuine, gave them a spot. And I think that worked in everybody's favor, because I think that's what people want to see and hear anyway. Mm-hmm. So I do as a fan.
Yeah.
So,
when I think, honestly, now more than ever, it's, you know, like things like when you're talking about your morning coffee playlists and stuff like that, like what of your life are you willing to give to your people?
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it kind of showed that even a little more.
Yeah.
Like, what makes you you? And how can you give that to people so that they either enjoy it or you figure out they don't, and then you try and give them something else, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it's cool.
I love that.
It's a strange way to figure that out, but, you know, the world is constantly shaking and moving.
Yeah.
You know, just like Nashville, this thing here is, I mean, if you would have told me that Post Malone have a country record and MGK was making country music a couple years ago, I would have said you were nuts, but...
Crazy.
It's just that's where the thing's at right now.
Yeah.
You know, and
also what I love about Post though is that he's come into this space and really like he's doing the work, you know, he's collaborating, he's writing with people in the country space. Mm-hmm. He has a respect for country music. Mm-hmm.
Covers
Joe Diffie. Let's go.
Well, covers not just Joe Diffie, but a lot of stuff.
I mean, I know.
Kurt literally just got a video of him playing a Luke song, you know?
It's awesome.
So yeah, my buddy is Post's photographer, and so he sent me this cool video, which I'll pull up right now, Post Taste. If I can do it. There it is, look. As good as gone. And
look
his
at
band's
him.
Like insane, too. So
crazy.
How cool.
See, that's amazing. I love that.
Super cool. And I get to see him. We are sponsored by Bud Light, as you see back there. And they don't give us any money, but they did give me tickets to see Post Malone at Marathon. So that was pretty great.
Wow.
So it's cool. And I mean, a lot of his stuff is covers in the country world right now. But of course, he has a bulk of music that he's put out, not a lot of which is country-ish. So now that he's working on that, you know, it's cool to see him go back to the things that he found inspiration in for what he's trying to build.
Yeah.
So I think it's cool.
It's pretty country.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, it's the music's so fun.
It's so fun.
Yeah.
It's one of those things too, where it's like, okay, the pop side of things is definitely growing, but also Zach Top is starting to work.
Let's go.
You know, and that's as country as cornbread.
Yeah.
You know? So I think,
and
the
that's what I love.
Big.
Like I'm a purist at heart, I guess, mm-hmm. And just have so much love and respect for country music that although there's a space for everybody, I love that that is also getting a chance to shine.
Yes.
Again.
So. Yeah. I think that's the cool part about the genre growing is that there is a big piece of the lane for that too.
Yeah.
You know,
for sure.
And there's other lanes that aren't that, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, having said that, it's like Shaboozy with Big X the Plug, one of my favorite songs of the last year. You know, is it extremely country? No, but it's a great song, you know. You know, I've listened to pop music for the majority of my life. And but same thing with me in terms of country. Like the stuff that I love the most is the more traditional sounding, maybe more Americana leaning stuff.
Yeah.
If I was just picking one thing to listen to. So, but I feel like that has a bigger lane now than it's had in a while.
So true.
Which is super cool. On the back of other artists in that vein that have kind of had success, so that you'll see people willing to accept that a little bit more in the mainstream.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the days, all the companies are just trying to make money and they're trying to figure out what the population will spend money on.
True.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's like one of those things where TikTok has been a little bit weird in terms of like artist development. You kind of have to develop yourself, or you have to like use a management for artist development now as opposed to a label.
Right.
Where I feel like maybe 25 years ago, before all of that, you really saw some real artist development done by labels. Now it's, you kind of have to get that part done yourself.
I just asked Marnie, I was like, so what was it like with Brooks and Dunn?
Yeah.
Like back in the day? She's like, well, we did one photo shoot pretty much per year. And I'm like, what? When you think of it from like a content standpoint, it was like, yeah, we did one photo shoot. We would look through all the, I don't know the right words, you know, film, old film, look at all the proof. They like try to like squint and look at all those, the film.
The negatives.
Thank you, the negatives. Yep. And I was just like, wow, crazy.
It's a very different thing now.
Yeah.
Contact sheet is the word you're looking for, I think.
Yeah.
Thanks.
But they print them out real small and then you can say, okay, this is the good one.
Yeah.
This one sucks. And
Yeah.
We love the flame shirt and this one's great. The flame shirt and this one's great. Yeah.
Just only flame shirt.
I had a Brooks and Dunn like flame shirt, you know, like the
amazing
OG one. It was great. And I was like, man, you know what would make this shirt great? Cutting the sleeves off of it. Which usually does make shirts great. You know, if you're looking to wear it to like a
festival.
When
you're,
just guns like I have, you know. But when I cut the sleeves off of it, didn't look right.
Oh, no. The flames.
Yeah.
Because the armholes are too big, probably.
Well, yes. But I just looked like I was Bam Bam Bigelow, which is a professional wrestler that wore like a flame shirt with no sleeves.
Okay.
So I was like, don't look like Brooks and Dunn anymore. Now look like Bam Bam Bigelow.
This is giving me stage outfit vibes. Ideas for next year.
Just wearing the flame shirt.
Just dress like Kix.
I mean, you can't go wrong.
That's so funny.
But it's crazy too, because that look became so iconic for them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I mean, Garth was kind of in that same realm of like crazy wild Western shirts, you know?
Yeah.
But I think Brooks and Dunn really like set it off, and then also had their own brand of Western shirts.
Yeah.
That they have.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You can get
an
Brooks
official
and Dunn
flame.
Yeah. Hell yeah. That's the one I got. The Bam Bam Bigelow one I had.
And you ruined it?
Yeah, dude. I think I paid.
Blasphemer.
Yeah. I think I paid $15 for it. So it
okay. All
right. Well,
damn, that's cool.
Yeah. So they had their own line then. I think, I don't know if it was Wrangler or Ellie Cattleman or which brand it was that they partnered with, but they partnered and put
they
out
did.
Like all of those shirts that like were iconic.
My dad
for them.
Had one.
Yeah.
I remember.
And they were sick.
Yeah. Okay. I'm getting
still
on Temu tonight or whatever that website is. You
Depop. Depop.
Yeah.
What's Depop?
Yeah. Depop is like
Depop.
No, Depop.
Okay.
It's just like a online vintage store or online like secondhand store.
What?
Yeah. Oh, it's big.
How did I not know about this?
See, I'm good at the internet. That's why.
Okay. Well, I need
Nick
help, so I'll call you.
Stuff from that like weekly.
I'm like, hey, you said you wanted a Don't Mess with Texas t-shirt that was like old and single stitched. I found one.
I don't think I ever said that, by the way.
Yes, you did.
All right. Your memory's better than mine.
You said it while we were in Cincy.
Oh. Cincinnati got me. I don't remember.
Well, I'm going to have to send you a list of stuff I want.
I'm like, I gave Kurt this shirt, George Strait shirt, and he'd had it for a while. It was too big for Kurt, slightly, I think.
It's like a XL, yeah. like a 90s XL.
Yeah.
And guys can't like tie, when girl shirts are too big, we like tie it in the knot on the side.
Yeah, or like crop them or whatever. Yeah. So I gave it to Kurt and he had it for a while and he's like, yo, I gave that to Jamie. And Jamie wore it.
Band guy.
Yeah,
in the band. And Jamie wore it on stage and I was like, yeah.
But it was a little too big for him. He had to like kind of tuck it in.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
But Kurt was like, so many people were DMing him asking where he got that shirt. So my thing is, if I see a shirt that's too good and it's a good price, I just get it, and I'll figure out whose it is. You know,
aww.
The shirt will find its owner.
Yeah, you know,
it's
what
like
I mean?
The sisterhood like, of the traveling. Yeah, band.
But if it's like if you get a shirt that's vintage and is that nice, yeah. and you can get it for like $15.
Oh,
you
for buy sure.
It, you know,
I saw a vintage Jeep shirt that had like cactus. It was like desert theme, and I really wanted it, but I didn't. I think it was like a triple X. I don't know. It wasn't my size. Anyway.
The other thing I'll do is I'll take pictures of those shirts, even if I don't buy them. And then I use that as design inspiration for shirts. Like you can send that to a designer. So if you find like a shirt from the 90s where you're like, man, this is sick. It's like, just take a picture of that. And then when you go to get a t-shirt done, you can be like inspiration.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I actually have my first batch of merch coming.
Really?
Friday, I think.
That's awesome.
You have any proof so you can pull up and show us?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hang on.
This is why Nick told you to go on the internet so we can.
Yeah. Oh, this
we
is.
We can share it.
See, I was like, I don't need the internet.
We always need the internet.
The internet. Do you have Jenna's number? You can share the Wi-Fi with her.
Can I not send it to you from here, or do you? Or
theoretically, if the internet works good,
yeah. Okay. Just show it to us if you got it on your phone.
Let's pull it up.
Here,
me doing techie things.
Rub my internet on yours.
Okay, thanks.
Funny story. We convinced Jake that when you airdrop something with somebody, you had to put your phone next to theirs to tap, and he thought that was real. For the longest time, and now it kind of is like it changed.
You guys made it happen.
Yeah.
Okay, this will be the koozie.
Ooh.
How do we feel?
I would drink ranch water out of that.
Let's go.
It has a Texas color to it.
Yeah.
Yes. Yep. I love it.
I don't know where the cameras are, but
they're everywhere.
They're everywhere.
Here they are. 1984. Here it is. Here's the koozie you want.
Yes. Okay.
And then let's see here. These are some stickers.
Oh yeah.
Let's go for the stickers.
Yep.
Stickers are good.
This
I like the
is
branding.
A shirt.
I wear those.
This will be, you know, the gender neutral shirt. Just logo on the front. And then the back is
cowboy shit.
Yeah, pretty much. There's a little Easter egg. You see here, Happy the Three-Legged Dog. That may or may not be a lyric in a song that is coming.
I love that.
It's a lot to unpack, but... Yeah.
Congrats.
We're
I'm also seeing
started.
Some, you got some new hardware over there as well.
I do.
Yay.
Oh. Abram
the
is the best.
Yeah. How did you guys originally meet?
So Abram is a songwriter here. He's awesome. I didn't know he was a songwriter when we met because we were on a turkey hunt in Texas.
Nice.
Yeah. It was my first.
Country shit.
I know. Damn. It was my first turkey hunt. NWTF has this event called Gobblers and Guitars, and they bring artists and songwriters out and they set you up on an awesome hunt. And then at the end of the week you play a show and it's pretty fun. Pretty, pretty fun.
I was blessed.
Yeah.
And you found love.
I know. Abram was there actually filming. He has like a side media company. And so he pretty much filmed my entire hunt. We were there for a week, and like the first 3 days we didn't see any turkeys, and it was like 110 degrees, and we hiked like, I don't know, 20 miles every day, uphill always, you know.
Both ways.
But really, it was kind of intense, and then I finally ended up getting 2 turkeys in 1 shot, which was super fun and legal in Texas. It's not legal everywhere, but it was there. Texans. But yeah, Abram was just super kind. You could definitely tell that he was just different. He's the best.
Good one.
He's a good boy.
Yeah.
He is.
We love him very much.
Yep. Yeah, you guys know Abram, right? Have you guys met?
I don't think so.
I'm not sure.
But we'll meet soon.
Yeah, you will.
Well, we're excited because I know that you had been like talking crap on boys for a while, so it's good to see that you got a
all my
one.
Songs are like I will never find love.
There's good there's good ones out there. Yes, I'm glad you got one.
There is. Yeah, for sure.
That's amazing.
God was looking out.
Yeah. Cool, how about shows? I know you've been playing like Listening Room and stuff around town.
Yeah.
Anything else on the book?
Any like cool shows at any historic venues or anything? Or
I mean, there's one in a couple weeks. I'm getting to play the Ryman for the first time. I know. I'm totally, thank you.
It's the best.
Totally freaking out. I get to open for Terry Clark, which is also awesome.
So awesome.
There's going to be some special guests that people are going to want to see.
Who are they?
I can't.
They're special enough that you can't talk about it.
So special.
Jimi Hendrix.
I know. And then I actually get to go out on the Ian Munzik tour this fall out west.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah. That'll be so fun.
It's going to be great.
I know. I'm just so grateful. Ian's a very good friend. Him and his wife, Caroline, are good friends of mine and ours. And I'm just such a fan, and he has created this movement of people. I saw Ian when he played his debut at the Ryman, and the Ryman was full of his fans who stood the entire show. And I was like, whoa, this is amazing. Like, the people love Ian.
Yeah.
And I love that. So
I love
I do
Ian.
Too. Yeah, same. It's I remember when he was like starting to catch buzz, and it was like he would go to his hometown and every venue would be completely full and it's just him and his fiddle player, right?
So cool. They toured. It was just him and his fiddle player for a long time.
Yeah.
That was it.
It was super cool. And I love now their show features the fiddle player so much.
Yeah.
Like he's the lead guitarist basically.
Yep.
Which is super cool and very different from, you know, a lot of stuff that we're used to in the genre.
Yeah.
Yeah, all of it.
Yeah. I can't think of anything else that's kind of like that, but maybe a couple bands from like the Texas-y world that are like really heavy on the fiddle. But it's super cool to see him like kind of, I don't know if he's the band leader or not, but at least on stage it looks like he is, you know?
Yeah.
And just kind of an homage to him just going out on the road with Ian and just being them for the longest time.
I know.
Super cool.
I love that.
And I love his sound too, because it is sonically, it sounds very retro, but it also sounds new, you know?
Yeah.
Like there's elements in it and his voice is just so distinct.
Yeah.
You hear it and you have no question whether it's Ian or not.
One.
You're fully aware.
100%. And just so talented. I got to sing BGVs on the last few releases that he's done. And I'm like, dang, Ian gets up there. Like, let me see if I can sing on top of that. He's
so
just so talented.
Yeah.
And
distinct. And I mean, it's funny too. Like, you hear his brother's and his dad's voice.
Yes.
And you're like, okay, these are all different. You know, it's not like everyone sounds like Ian either. His is just so distinct. Super cool.
Yeah.
A lot of falsetto singing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, his live show, the production work they do is awesome, too. It really sets the scene for it. I got to see him a few times, and it's from festivals where he's a short set to being like a headlining show. It's equally powerful, in my opinion.
I love that.
Yeah.
Well, congrats on the tour. That's so cool. I didn't know that.
Thank you.
So are you going out? Are you going to be acoustic opener? Are you bringing a band?
Acoustic, actually. They're having like a ride around for openers.
That's cool.
So it'll be, I'm sorry guys, I haven't mentioned you yet. It'll be me, Casey Tyndall, and Farron Rachels.
That's awesome.
The homies.
They're calling it the song swap. So
that's great.
It'll be a lot
of fun. I love that too, because it gives the experience that not a lot of people get to see outside of Nashville.
Yeah.
To the masses, which is sick.
It is so fun. And I think about that. I mean, living here in Nashville, we see a lot of that. So I forget that. When I grew up back in Northern California, I had no idea. Like, I didn't know songwriting was an occupation, okay? Yeah. I had no idea. And so the first show I went to here, I came to visit during Tin Pan South, and I went to a round at the Sutler, which isn't here anymore, right? Sutler
no,
gone?
It's gone.
Oh, so sad.
Yeah.
And just such a magical, you know, it's such an intimate show that definitely blew my mind. And when people come to town, I just had some family friends visit. They left today, actually. And they went to a writer's round. I played last night and they were like, oh my gosh, like this was amazing. And that's something that Raise Rowdy has always done. And you guys have brought it places and, you know, it's allowed people to see something at a stripped, on a strip level. So,
yeah, I think it's cool. And like, I mean, places like the Listening Room.
Yeah.
And whenever someone's in town, I'm like, you got to go to the Listening Room, especially like on a weekend. Cause like there's not a lot of writers rounds on the weekend, but the Listening Room has their shows.
Yep.
And just getting to hear, even if it's just 30 seconds about that song and about how you got there.
Yep.
Or about, you know, who you wrote it with and that what that was like, or, you know, someone cut it, who cut it and why. You know? Just those little details for someone that loves music can be the difference between liking the song or like absolutely falling in love with it.
Totally.
So I love that those exist here. I think it's one of the most powerful things in Nashville.
Yeah.
And I love when people outside of Nashville get to kind of experience too, whether that's like a Listening Room that does that all the time, you know, or whether it's, you know, someone taking a chance on having that as the opening for their shows.
Totally.
Amazing either way.
And it's so fun here in town. I played last night with Marla Cannon, and she's just one of my faves as a human and as a writer. But for me, hearing a songwriter sing a song that they wrote is so moving to me. And it's just so cool. You kind of like dig a little deeper and, you know, you hear a Tony Lane song and you're like, wow, Tony has a thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that influences the way the artist records it.
Yep.
So I'm just like, I'm very pro songwriter. And
I always like go on YouTube like probably twice a year and like look up Jeffrey Steele. And I'm just like,
so good.
Jesus, this guy's so good.
He's unbelievable.
He is.
I feel bad for anyone that has to follow him ever because.
And I love his, like, when he plays solo electric, you know?
I love when he plays piano.
Yeah.
He plays what hurts the most on piano and just goes off on it. I'm like, ooh.
My first time in Key West at Songwriters Fest.
Yeah.
Which was that, like, weird year where, like, BMI wasn't there. But we all still were.
But I was there.
Yeah. I mean, Kurt was there because he was off work.
Was I there?
Yeah, you were there that year.
Oh, yeah.
And it was, I was very drunk and at Island Dogs at
Island
11
Dogs.
p.m.
A.M.
And, and my phone was completely dead. And Jeffrey Steele was playing, like, by himself, telling stories. And I'm, like, in the bar crying. You know, just drunk crying.
You're like, I can't even document it.
Just happy crying in the bar, you know. Just this is the thing.
Yeah.
You know, like this is, these moments are why this exists.
Yeah.
That's why we like songs.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's so powerful when it's stripped down as much as it's powerful when it's worked up.
Yeah, right.
You know, and that's one of the
Cool, they say a great song should, you know, stand the test. If it is a great song, then it's great acoustic and it's great full band and it's yeah.
And his stuff is very much like that. It's cool to see the songwriters too. I mean, just being a fan of music, getting to hear the people that wrote it and what they were thinking of.
Yeah.
You know? And we get to do that a lot. And it's one of those things where now we're doing so many events that it's like kind of become normal. But when you see guys like that and you see them play songs that are generational songs, you know,
just a God-given gift.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
unreal.
And then just how they're expressing them that makes it different than how the artist did. But like you said, like I remember hearing Hardy songs that Hardy wrote and then hearing Cole Swindell cut it, and you hear a little bit of Hardy in it.
Yeah,
it's the same thing. Like once you get to know a songwriter like Singleton or whoever,
yeah,
guys that have like a style, you can hear that sometimes when it's in the song, you know.
Totally.
And
their little fingerprint is on it.
Yeah. Yeah. Even when someone else cut it and totally produced by other people, it doesn't matter. You'll hear that little bit that you're like, is this a Jeffrey Steele song?
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Which I think is super cool. And it's just more Easter eggs for people that's their thing and they love it.
Yes. You know? Yeah.
What music did you love the most growing up?
Well, when I was really young, we were only allowed to listen to Christian music.
Mm-hmm. You're a good Christian folk.
That's
I was
right.
just talking about Christian music today.
Yeah.
Have you seen that King of the Hill clip where Hank Hill's talking about the Christian band or whatever. Uh-uh. He's like, you're not making rock music better. You're making Christianity worse.
Oh, no.
Very funny.
I saw a clip on the news, a.k.a. TikTok, that...
the news. The news. Oh, boy.
Smashing Pumpkins lead singer was talking about...
This is what brought the conversation up.
Rock and roll. Yeah. Yeah. He was talking about rock and roll, and he was like, what do you think's next in rock and roll? And they were like, Christianity. And he's like, well, that's been done. And he's like, yeah, but Christian rock, you got to make Christian rock better, not make rock and roll worse by making a Christian rock.
Yeah, that's what made me think of that quote.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which is funny.
He said that Jesus wants better Christian rock bands or something.
Yeah. I was like, so funny. Ooh. But it's, I understand what he's saying. Like,
you
want the caliber of music to be great no matter what.
Yeah, and totally.
And if that is Christian themed music, that would be the biggest thing on the planet.
Yeah.
So yeah. That's it's the news, you know, aka TikTok or Instagram Reels.
Like, the news.
I read an article about RIP that means news. You saw a video.
Yeah. It's like I read this thing though that I'm like, no, that was on a podcast that I watched while I was doing laundry.
Yeah. Information's coming from weird places now. Yeah. Soon the robots will give it all to us.
Yeah. True. No. So
all right,
true.
But back to your music.
Yes.
Sorry.
And then I think I was 8. My siblings are triplets. I needed to specify that. Mm-hmm. And
did you feel left out?
No, because I was 2 years younger, so I kind of felt like a quadruplet.
Yeah,
gotcha.
Until there was a little period of time where I was known as the triplet sister, and that kind of was like, wow, I'm almost one of them, but I'm not. You know.
God bless your parents, by the way.
I know my parents are so rock stars. Yeah. Yeah, I am the baby. Yeah. And so we spent a lot of time in the truck going. I grew up in a big rodeo family, so we competed like almost every weekend. Mm-hmm. So a lot of drive time. And we started listening to country music, I remember the first time Fancy came on the radio, and I was too young obviously to know what it was about. And I remember my mom looking at my dad like, this is what we're gonna, you know, let them listen to. And she loves Reba. She's a big Reba fan. But it was at that moment I was like, yeah, we're here. We're in the country element. But because there were so many of us kids in the back seat, I think at one point my dad was like, all right, I'm not, because all of us were like, I want to listen to this. I want to listen to this. I want to listen to this. He was like, we have 2 CDs. This was a CD time. We have 2 CDs in the truck. We have George Strait's 50 number one hits, and we have Garth Brooks' greatest hits. And that's
pretty
it.
Solid.
Yeah.
It's so solid.
Yeah.
And when I think about, like, I listened to those records for years. Like, that was it.
Yeah.
And just to get to kind of, like, grow up on hit songs only.
Yeah.
Is something that is interesting. And I think just started shaping, you know, the writer that I wanted to be, the singer that I wanted to be at a young age, and a goal to aim for. Like, okay, why did this song work? What was it? Yet you can listen to those records and be like, man, each song like has it. It has a thing. What is the thing? Mm-hmm. And why does it work? And then from like a vocal standpoint, Leanne Womack is a huge, huge influence. I'm such a fan. Patti Loveless, any female singer that has like a lot of emotion in their vocal, I was drawn to. And yeah, whatever was sad, tried to make it sadder, and went from there.
Yeah,
no one ever like grows up listening to like dumb music. Like when they come on the podcast, they're always like George Strait. I'm like, that's great, but I had the Cisco CD growing up. I had like, nothing's anything wrong with Master P, but it was like that, Spice Girls.
Oh, listen.
Informer by Snow.
Spice World, your life, every boy and every girl. Spice up your life, people of the world. Spice up your life.
There you go. That's the clip we're pulling now.
Well, I definitely listened to a lot of everything. Like, I remember listening to Snow, Informer, and the Red Hot Chili Peppers at the same time, you know? Like,
what was the first record you ever bought yourself?
Those were the first two. Snow, Informer, and Red Hot Chili Peppers, what hits?
Mine was Melancholy, Infinite Sadness, Smashing Pumpkins, and Tragic Kingdom, No Doubt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm older than you.
Yeah.
And Jenny's younger.
I'm trying to remember what was. I remember buying Gary Allen's what record? Drinking Dark Whiskey, Telling White Lies. Mm. That record. Feeling real
that's
cool.
Such a great song.
It is so good. So good.
Drinking Dark Whiskey. Isn't that a Stapleton? Was he a writer on that?
I think Johnson Brothers.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The Steel Drivers have that.
What's that? Steel Drivers?
Yeah.
Wait, is it? And am I just now discovering this? Do we need to look it up?
If you have the internet.
That's definitely a Stapleton song. I just yeah. forget
what
band
it was. Dark Whiskey.
Telling why I
one leads to the other on a Saturday night.
Yeah.
I love finding this out. I mean, it makes sense. Yeah, I do not have internet, but that makes sense. And Gary Allen always cut
yeah,
great songs.
Smashes.
Yeah.
His voice is just so good.
Mm.
I remember seeing him a couple years ago at CMA Fest, and he was like, I think at the kickoff of the day, and he's just, voice is
Stapleton.
So good.
Let's go, Stapleton.
I mean, classic Stapleton.
I missed the show this weekend.
What do you mean?
He was here. He was at Bridgestone this weekend, and I wasn't able to go, but Marty Stewart opened. I love Marty.
Same. I saw Stapleton at a festival in Arizona that we were playing. We were playing at 3 p.m. and he was like headlining. And by the time Stapleton came on, I had a few beers. And he was playing Far Away and I was just enjoying it, having the night of my life. Singing along, like screaming.
Like so Bill good. Murray.
Oh, yeah. But the PA was like, their front of house mix is not loud. It's not like a loud show. And people were like, shh. I'm like, what? Far Away. I always remember that.
That's great.
That's amazing.
God, he crushed. So good. I love him.
Yeah, his shows are cool. It's definitely different, though. It's not a lot of country shows are a party.
Yeah.
And Stapleton's is a good time, but it's not a party.
Yeah.
You know?
I love it.
Yeah. It's a really cool
show. He's like the best singer ever. So.
Yeah, he's definitely top five.
And writer.
Yeah, so good.
Probably human. Although I've only walked by him one time. I've never met him yet. But Paul knows him, so.
Yeah. Hey, there we go. Man. Paul says he's so great.
I only heard the best things.
The whole gig is awesome. And
yeah. When I saw him, Paul wasn't there. But next time. And now that I know I have a Paul Franklin, Chris Stapleton hookup, I'll just call Jenna for free tickets.
Let's go. Let's go.
Hey, I need more free tickets, please. And meet and greets.
They'll swap.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
But it's one of the things we talk about, too, on the pod decent bit is that traditionalism is having another resurgence.
Let's go.
Having a time.
Yeah.
We've had, like, Jade Eagleson on and his thing in Canada.
Yeah.
It's like, it's more country than everything else that's up there. And he doesn't even have a label up there anymore, and it's still getting played a lot on country radio up
there.
So
cool.
Which is super sick.
Yeah. I just saw he did, was him and Jake Worthington?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, the song out together.
Yeah, so he had that song out, and it's honestly, it's one of his best songs, and then Jake on it too, who is just as country as cornbread.
I love Jake so much.
Me too.
We're playing with him this weekend.
Yeah. I just hit up.
In Canada.
Nice. Oh, yeah.
That's so fun.
I just hit up them to try to get him on the pod, too. So hopefully we'll get
awesome.
Big Lad, help us out.
Hopefully we'll get Jake on the pod.
Come on, Jake.
Yeah. But that's where my heart lives, too. Like, I love traditional sounding music.
Yeah.
And then, you know, everything's in waves. Like, I'm in like a rock wave right now, too, where I'm listening to a lot of like more just straight up rock and roll music. Even rock country, just rock. And then, but also, like, there's this band, The Drop Tines, they're like Americana with a little bit of rock leaning, and I just can't stop listening. So
that's so cool.
Yeah. I always just get a band or a song, and I'll just completely murder it.
Yeah.
Just listen to it a gajillion times in a row.
It's me with Flatland right now again.
Yeah.
What record have you murdered that you listened to it and ruined it, but it still is good?
Traveler.
Of your go-tos. Yeah.
Like, I listened to Traveler so many times straight through, like, and just, or got a song and just put it on repeat 15 times in a row.
Yeah.
That I had to not listen to it for a while. But it's just such a good record that you could go back to it after.
So dynamic, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So different. There's so many different things happening on it, but it's all cohesive.
Yep.
And I mean, it's, in my opinion, that's a generational record.
Kurt, what's your record that you can listen to over and over?
Well, one I have listened to like way too much is probably like the Metallica record with the Symphony S&M record. Mm-hmm. Like growing up, I listened to that so much. Mm-hmm. And just like that was my favorite band.
I've never heard
up.
This record, so I need to go listen.
Yeah.
I mean, if you like Metallica and Symphonies, then.
I don't know if I know.
It's a niche.
Any Metallica songs?
You know a couple.
Yeah. Okay. Have you ever been to a sporting event?
You've heard yeah. some. You've at least heard the guitar riffs.
Yeah.
What about you?
I know. I was trying to think as you were talking about that. What would mine be? I guess Leanne Womack, There's More Where That Came From, is my favorite record of all time, probably. Yeah. There's no bad song on that record.
Love it.
The production was awesome.
Oh, insane. Insane. It's so good.
I love that, too, so where classic. You listen to a whole record and there's no skips.
Yeah, no skips.
That's the best, in my opinion. I remember, you know, listening to John Party's first record.
Yeah.
And I was like, there's literally yep. no bad songs on this whole record. It's amazing. Record,
I have this vivid memory where I had this, you know when you would, like, as a kid, you would drink, like, Hi-C or Gatorade out of those tubs with the little spout on
yeah.
the bottom?
Yeah.
I had that full of moonshine. And
oh, no.
And I it was when I started touring and I was playing with Jana. And Rob and Dustin Huff and I were hanging out, but they hadn't started touring yet, really, with Luke. And I came home from the road, and I had this jug. And I had a bunch of people over, and we all went in the pool. I used to have a pool in my condo. And we got Custry and Western fucked up. And it was so much fun. And we just listened to that record on repeat, that John Party record, and yeah. it was so much fun.
Yeah, that record is one of those ones. That's one of the things I like the most is when you get a whole record and you just can't stop listening to it, yeah. but you're also not, oh, I like these four songs.
Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah.
I call it every song sounds like a single, even though, of course, they're not a single.
Yeah.
But when every song has its own separate thing that makes you love it, right? Yeah. That's the stuff that I absolutely love. And it's hard now that there are not as many records unless you're already established.
I know. It's know? Sad. A singles world when the record experience is so fun.
Yeah. And I remember Garth Brooks talking, or maybe it wasn't Garth Brooks. Don't quote me on that. But saying the singles are the songs that you listen to. The B-sides are the ones you get a poster of on your wall that say the lyrics from it. You know?
Yeah.
And that's the thing that albums can do for you is it can give you, hey, I know this probably isn't going to be a mainstream radio cut.
Yeah.
But it's going to mean something to people. Let's put it out. You know?
Yeah.
And some of my favorite songs, like I love this song, In It, that Josh Thompson wrote and Jake Owen.
Oh, Jake Owen. That song is so good.
So good. But it's like it never went to radio or anything, but it's such a powerful song. And in my opinion, that song just sounds like country gold.
Yeah.
Like it's a extremely well-crafted. It is country as cornbread.
Yep.
And it's meaningful and it evokes emotion. Yes. Which are the things that like if country music at its core does.
Yeah.
So if not for albums, you might never have gotten that song put into the world.
I mean, I know.
It took years to get there in general. That song floated around for a while before Jake and the team cut it. But you might have never gotten that if it wasn't for him being able to put out full albums.
Yeah. Right.
It's an interesting market we're in right now where it's like singles every 6 weeks for a lot of artists.
Yeah.
But then when you get there, it's you can put out 100 songs and people will consume it. Like when you're at the top of the thing, you can put out 10 albums at once and they'll all get consumed.
Yeah.
But if you're a struggling artist or if you're newer, you have to roll the wave of, okay, I need my monthly listeners to be up on these platforms to do that. I have to feed them new music all the time. To do that, I have to have a song every 6 to 8 weeks so that it doesn't dip too far.
Yeah.
So it's just an interesting dynamic of that mixed with not that at all, which is like Zach Bryan or, you know, the Wall and Double Triple Records. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, Luke even putting out 2 records in 1 year, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
When you're at the top of the game, you can drop as much music as you want.
Yeah.
But till you're there, you kind of have to be strategic and roll it out slower.
Yeah. For sure.
Whereas like previously it was kind of like you'd do an EP, that EP turned into an album, that'd be it. You'd drop a 1 song or 2 songs before to tease the EP, more or 2 more to tease the rest of the album, and then that was it. But now it's like if you drop an album, 1 song is going to get playlisted and other ones are no one's going to hear.
I know.
So you kind of have to do single releases.
I mean, even John Mayer was on a podcast and he was talking about somebody sent me a clip. I can't even remember who, what podcast it was, but it was like, I think the question was, what's keeping you up at night right now, currently? And he was like, I guess what's keeping me up at night is I don't know whether to release a record or just release singles for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, even somebody like John Mayer is wondering. He's like, I just don't think, you know, I think people are ready for something new pretty quickly. They and it was just interesting to see somebody at his level be like, wow, that's what he's contemplating, you know?
Yeah, it makes you realize that it's everybody's problem. Yeah. It's not just like
where you're at. There's, I mean, there's a lot that goes, I mean, there's the release of the music itself, but there's the content, the marketing, the, you know, merch that is specific to a single release, all of the press. Like, there is so much that goes behind putting
music out effectively.
So, yeah,
you can just put music out,
right?
Doesn't mean anyone's gonna hear it or it's gonna get on any playlists or
totally
you're gonna gain any fans from it organically. It's or you can have a plan that may work or might not.
Yeah,
try it. If it doesn't work, pivot, try something else, you know. But it's, that's one of the other things too that until I really got here I didn't understand.
Yeah,
you know. And then working at a record label for a year and a half, I was like, oh, that's how it works, you know. Like, you see behind the curtain a little bit.
Sometimes, like, it's not always fun to see how the sausage is made.
Well, yeah, but it's still, it's interesting.
Yeah,
you know, even if you're like, oh crap, you know.
I mean, I think it's awesome.
Yeah.
And it gives insight. I mean, maybe I always try to think of like 12-year-old Jenna, who is just a fan of country music and wanting to, you know, hear all the things. And would she care? Maybe not so much, but also maybe if she knew, like, oh wow, that's how something happens, or that's how something happens, and showing a little bit of light on that. I think probably people have a better understanding now than they did in the past.
So I've never released music, but as someone that signed or someone that isn't signed that released music independently, like, what is that process like? Like, how do you get your songs on iTunes and all that?
Yeah. So distribution helps with that.
Yep.
So there's a company that helps you get your songs to DSPs?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
So like when we dropped the one song, like TuneCore. So TuneCore is one that you can kind of get in with low cost of entry, right?
Yep.
So it's good for independent artists.
Yeah.
And then as you go up the chain, there's bigger distributors that have more resources.
Who are they distributing to?
So they're distributing to the DSPs, mm-hmm. to iTunes stores for purchase.
Yep.
And then part of that is you can have like playlist pitching in it. So if it's a bigger one that has established relationships with like digital service providers, they probably have a better chance of getting you on the cooler playlists or the editorial playlists.
So is a distribution deal kind of akin to a radio deal, like as far as like radio promo? In a way?
Kind of, yeah. The only thing with distribution is you kind of need someone to do it. You can't really do it yourself.
Right. That's what, like a radio team, sort of.
Yeah.
Yeah, radio is, I'd say it's a little more niche just because there's only a certain percentage of people that are dropping songs that, you know, are prepared to send stuff to radio or have the financial viability to do such things. And then the hard part with radio is breaking new artists, like streaming as well. Yeah. But it's hard. People in country music love Luke Bryan. So are they going to play another Luke Bryan song that they know the last one did good? Or are they going to play a random person that they haven't heard yet? You know, and if they've heard them, or if there's something popping them to make them viable in the world, then that's the case. Right. So like,
which
that's
I think is also why it's so impressive that somebody like Zach Topp is having such a strong, strong moment.
Yeah.
So shout out to his team and
Leo 33 over there.
Yep.
And his thing is so, I remember Kurt and I had him on the pod, God, I guess like a year and a half ago, something like that.
Just a quick side story about Zach.
Yeah.
My cousin is, or my nephew, I should say, is Tyler. He's really into country music. He's from Fort Worth or Denton or wherever. And he's talked to my mom, his grandma, which is weird to me to hear and say that. And he's like, yeah, this guy Zach Topp is like really good, have you ever heard of him? And my mom's like,
have I ever heard of him? And she pulls up her phone, and it's a picture of her with Zach Top at the podcast because she came to the podcast. Yeah, and her and my
that's
dad,
so
Zach.
Cool.
Yeah,
I love it.
It was cool. And Zach Mom's has just like, Zach has that thing, you know, that when he's in the room, you know, he's in the room.
Yeah.
You know.
Yep.
He's very charismatic.
Yep.
Like you could see it, and you're like, I think this is gonna work.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't always work with that still, but
yeah,
you see that thing where you're like, oh, you know,
yeah.
And it's different for everybody. Everybody has different part of the thing.
Yeah.
But he definitely had it. It was funny. Like we did the podcast with him and it went great. And then mm-hmm. we smoked a cigar with him after. And that conversation, if that was a podcast, would have been the best podcast we've ever done.
Yeah.
Like that's usually how it goes.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure.
Once all of the lights are off, that's when you like really hear the stuff that he loved and like what he really grew up on and what he thinks about other stuff. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just
totally.
A little bit of everything.
Totally.
So it was cool to get to kind of have that experience. And I put like this like 90s Western coat on him that was 10 sizes too big because it was a little chilly.
Out, yeah.
Yeah. And
it
was
amazing.
Just like, it was fun, you know.
Aww.
But it is super cool. I remember when we were talking to Kurt or when I was talking to Kurt about him, like when we were first, before we were having him on, I was like, Zach sounds like all these other people want to sound like.
Yeah.
You know, like his tone is just so country. And it seems so effortless,
yeah.
Even though I'm sure he puts a lot of effort into making it seem effortless. But it seems so effortless. And then he's just so good at guitar, too.
Yeah.
Not only does he have that amazing voice and that charisma when he's in a room, but
yep.
you also just watch him freaking pick the hell out of a guitar.
Yeah, but his best thing is his songs.
Yeah.
Like, his songs
yeah.
are amazing.
Songs are amazing, and like the voice is amazing.
And they're authentic. I mean, to your point, there's a lot of people trying to... There's a lot of people trying to be other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you see somebody who is authentic, it's just like, whoa, it's so powerful.
Yeah.
You can't, and country specifically, I feel like isn't exactly something you can try to imitate. Like, I think that there's people who can be successful imitating it, but mm-hmm. I don't know if,
is
you know.
Is it going to be long term?
I don't know. Yeah.
Right.
I don't think you can't fake Zach Top and you can't fake Jake Worthington and
yeah.
you can't fake Wyatt McCubbin and
yep.
the list goes on. But yeah,
it's definitely one of those things where country music from its history is authentic and
yeah.
you always hear people talk about you have to be authentic to you. Right.
Yeah.
And I do agree with that. But what I will say is I think a lot of times the authenticity will get amplified. So you'll take what is you in your everyday life. And then when you're on stage, you take that, if say your knob's at a 6 or a 7, you take that up 2 points and you
yeah.
just like are a more robust
yes.
version of you.
Totally.
You know what I mean?
And there's always ways to improve and grow
yeah.
and accentuate things about yourself that.
Yes.
You know,
I think that's
need a little amping. But.
Yeah. Well, and that's because if you're with you every day, you would see you, you know, your fiance
yeah.
sees who you are
yeah.
every day. The ups and the downs, but you need to be on the whole time you're on stage.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
So that's just the on version of you.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's one of the things, like, I mean, all the superstars in country music, you could dress as for Halloween, you know?
Totally.
And that's not like they always dress like that since they were 10. They figured it out along the
right.
way. Right. You know?
Yeah, totally.
Like, what's that version of you look like? Like, when did Eric Church start putting on shades and an American flag boa for his shows,
yeah.
right? When did he
boa.
Figure out that the scarf?
Yeah.
But you know what I mean?
Feathers.
Yeah. But like, when did that happen?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And at what point was he like, oh yeah, this works.
Yeah.
Right? That's him, but it's like a version of him.
Right,
you
totally.
Know? So I think that's one of the things that it has to be iconic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like this Chapel Roan girl. Have you looked up her?
Yes, but I probably need to do some more because I was...
She's amazing.
Crazy.
Yeah. I don't know. How have you not heard her? She's everywhere.
Yeah.
I know.
It's huge right now. But also, she's talked about when I was just being exactly me, it wasn't working. Now that I'm this character version of me.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
in
yeah.
other genres, that is commonplace. Think about rock music and bands like Kiss and,
right.
you know, Ozzy Osbourne, like, was literally doing songs that had nothing to do with his life. It was like books almost, you know? It was
yeah.
like a character.
Yeah.
Rock and roll music, you'll see that. Even in pop music, you'll see that. But
yeah.
country music, not often, right? Country music is who are you and what's the version of that that is marketable.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So you just got to figure out like what you can amplify of you
yeah.
to make it stand out.
Yeah.
And again, now it's, you have an hour show to do that, or you have a 35 second video clip online to do that. So you have to be mindful of it the whole time. And I think people historically have been, but it's just, it's even more important now to kind of have your own like lane and niche
yeah.
that you're traveling down.
Yep.
At least in my head.
Yep.
So what else has
I
been
think
going
that's
on
all
with
wise.
You? Yeah.
Man, I guess,
are you still working with horses or are you out of that now?
I don't have as much time. Yeah. I mean, I still can head out to some friends' places and hop on when I want to, but yeah. Definitely not competitively. Like mm-hmm. that was a full-time thing when I was competing. Yeah, but yeah, I still get to hang out around horses, and that'll always be part of my life. Hopefully at some point I'll be able to make it a little bit more of my life. But
yeah.
When you get a lot of money, then you can get a barn and all that.
Let's go, baby.
Yeah.
And you can have some other young songwriter help you with it.
Yeah. I love it.
That's how it goes, though.
I love it.
Yeah. Well, thanks for hopping on the pod with us.
Guys, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. We've been talking about this for a while. I'm glad it lined
up. I know.
Up.
Feels me like too. Years almost.
Yeah.
I know. We love you so much.
I love you, too.
Absolutely. Appreciate you, and not just you, but your music as well.
Thank you. Absolutely. That means a lot.
Yeah.
Thank Everyone you. Go follow Jenna. And go see her play at the Ryman.
Yeah.
Come on out. It's going to so be great. Fun.
What's the date of that?
August 29th.
It's so awesome.
Thanks.
I'm so proud of you, sis.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Thanks.
And thanks for hopping on the pod with us. And thanks for...
thanks for having me.
Just being a part of the Raise Rowdy family.
Yeah. I'm Raise Rowdy for life.
We
I'm
love
telling you.
You. Amen.
Love you too.
All right, guys. Well, I'm Nikki T.
I'm Kurt Ozon. And we'll see you in the front row.